it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Hey, I'd rather be in than out, right? Right. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, it's time for another podcast of Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. If you haven't gone over to see my blog lately, you ought to go to thecomputercurmudgeon.com. thecomputercurmudgeon, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. And if you do that, you'll be able to get in on what's happening at the blog, where it's always happening. Yeah, right. Self-promotion, you gotta love it. All right, what are we going to talk about this week? We were going to have an interview this week with Adam Winter, and he bailed on me. No, actually, I don't think he did. He tried to call me last night on Gizmo, and we were having some kind of technical problem. And it was so late at night that I just said, right, I'm going to go to bed. And so I did. And I told Adam, we'll catch you next go-around. But we will do that yet. You know, every week we keep saying, yeah, we're going to do it. And yes, we will do it. So hang in there, both you and Adam. We'll get it done. But this week, I do want to finally make good on my promise to talk about how to make Windows work well, which is a challenge because, you know, Microsoft, as we found out in the blog, Microsoft builds in failure as a feature into Windows. And so, hey, you know, when they do that, how are you going to make it work consistently? Because it's designed to crash, unlike Linux, which is, of course, designed to run forever without ever crashing. But anyway, the point is, Windows can be made to be more stable than it actually is in reality by just a very few things that will help you get a much better user experience when it comes to Windows. And they're not that difficult. Matter of fact, a lot of the problems, I should say, that people have with Windows really comes down to if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. That's the red wine principle. You know, if you're going to do stupid things, if you're going to go to websites that load spyware on your system, if you're going to, you know, download things and click on, you know, attachments that have viruses, you're going to reap the benefits of stupidity. That's just the way it works, okay? But if you're smart, and if you use your computer with a modicum of common sense, then you can avoid all of those things, and actually, it will run and run and run and run. Matter of fact, this HP Pavilion laptop that I'm recording the podcast on right now, I've had for something over 2 years. It has never crashed. It's never had a blue screen. It has always run correctly. And, you know, I have no trouble with it whatsoever. And it's got a boatload of software installed on them. If you look at all, you know, my all programs, I pull it up and it just goes on and on and on for three columns. So it's not that I don't have anything installed on it. I've got a lot of junk installed on it. But what I have installed on it is real software. It's not spyware and viruses and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, hey, you got to be careful out there. If you go out and read my article, and I'll promote it once again. I've talked about it before on the podcast. But I've got an article out there called How to Be Safe on the Web, or It's Good to Be Paranoid. That's the full title. But go to drbillbailey.net, drbailey.net, /safe, S-A-F-E dot H-T-M-L. That article will tell you how to be safe on the net. If you're safe on the net, you'll avoid a lot of the problems that we're going to actually address about today in terms of making Windows run better. So, let's talk about some of the very basic things you need to do. First of all, we have to understand that Microsoft Windows is a kludge. Okay? You remember the thing we talked about last week about Windows is, you know, a 32-bit operating system that's based on a 16-bit, da 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 da, all the way down to a 2-bit company that doesn't want to have 1 bit of competition. Well, basically, there's a lot of truth to that. Windows was originally designed in an environment that was not security aware, shall we say. See, the difference between Linux and Windows is not just that a whole lot of geeks like myself have a prejudice toward Windows and a prejudice for Linux. Of course, that is true, but it's because of the original design of the Unix operating system, you know, world. And that is, Unix from the get-go was determined to be a multi-user, multitasking operating system. It was designed with a thought to more than one person is going to be using this machine. If you'd start from that premise, then from the very beginning of designing the operating system, you have to take into account things like, what if somebody else does this? Oh, and what if somebody else does that? So you have to take into account certain security issues, basically, from the very start. Whereas with Windows, the whole idea was, this is a personal, quote-unquote, computer. Nobody else is going to be using it. And at the time it originally came into being, there was not even any networks. Now, I remember this. I go back far enough that I remember that a personal computer was just a box that you sat at. It had no connectivity. It had no network. There was no connection to the internet. It was just a box that you ran software on. Well, if you're in an environment like that, then and you're not even thinking about anybody else is going to use this box, then the easy thing to do, the lazy way out is to say, well, we don't care about security. We're not connected to anything. We don't have to worry about anything. We'll just run it all with full root privileges. Now, I just used a Unixy, Linuxy term, administrator privileges. Okay. In other words, if you run everything with full privilege, you know, and again, if you're in an environment where it doesn't matter, then why not? You know, it's easy. It's much easier to do. And so that's what Microsoft did, is they designed Windows to be strictly a one-user, one-box, non-connected world. And then when networks came into play, it was kind of added on as an afterthought, and Microsoft said, well, hey, you know, let's just all get along. You know, we'll design a network so that as soon as you connect something to the network, boom, you can see it. Because after all, users are dumb, and we don't have to go out and figure anything out. So we'll just make it to where everybody can see everything, and everybody can get to everything, and it'll all just be one big happy family, you know, and so forth. And basically, they thought of the network in the same way that they thought of the computer, which was, this is all something that we're going to just use together, totally collaboratively, totally free and open, because their mindset was not security. Well, of course, that led to, you got a bunch of boxes sitting out there with full administrator privileges, for the most part, running all your software, and you connect them all together, then somebody got to looking at the other box and going, I bet I could do something to that box. And so that's how exploits came into being. Viruses came into being. More and more people said, I can attack that box, or you can't attack my box. I'll keep you from attacking my box. Well, I can attack your box, and I can take it down in 2 minutes. And they started getting competitive about, how are we going to destroy the network? And now we're reaping the benefits of that playing at destroying the network. And, you know, most of these guys do it just for the the sake of being able to say, nah, 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 I wrote this and destroyed that system. And you know that mindset. It's basically the same mindset that comes into play for people that spray paint on walls, you know, vandalism. It's basically computer vandalism. That's what that all came out of. Unfortunately, we have gotten so dependent on networked systems and the network in general, specifically the internet, that we almost can't get along without it. And all of these exploits and all of these people that are trying to design ways to get into systems and destroy systems or at least affect them in a negative way we're kind of reaping the benefits of all that, if you want to call it benefits, benefits in quotes. We're reaping the results of that by seeing all this chaos and destruction. And the thing about it is, it's not just a nuisance anymore. It's gotten to the point that it's costing money. I mean, you think about a major corporation. How much time, how much actual man hours are spent trying to foil viruses, trying to foil spyware, trying to keep the systems clean so that they're efficient and they work correctly? You know, because if a system is not working, then the person who is the knowledge worker that's using that system can't effectively do their job. If they can't do their job, they can't make money for the company. If the company is losing money, that, of course, absolutely impacts the bottom line. So you've got a lot of people out there running around, scurrying around, trying to keep the systems clean and fast and working efficiently. And they're fighting off all of these programs and viruses and spyware and everything else that's slowing the system down. And the amount of time, effort, and energy that they're spending doing that is getting into the millions and billions of dollars of cost. So it's a very serious problem, as well as just being a nuisance. Nobody likes spam. But people who don't think about it will send out the message that says, send this to 20 of your friends, thinking, oh, this is just something, this is no big deal, I'll just hit the button and it'll go. But they don't realize they're clogging up the network, they're increasing the amount of junk on hard drives, which costs money, they're increasing bandwidth, which costs money, they're cluttering up people's inboxes, which is a nuisance to them, which takes time to weed through and get rid of, and so that costs money. Everything impacts that bottom line. So it's beginning to be, or has for a long time been, a very serious issue. Anyway, point being, there is something you can do about some of these things. Let's talk first about your system in general. A lot of people have a problem that goes something like this. First time I got my computer out of the box, brand new, oh man, it was like Christmas. I open up my box and I pull out all my packing stuff and I hook my computer up and I power it up for the first time, and man, the first thing I notice is how fast this thing boots. It comes right up. It's so fast. And then you talk to them about 3 months, 6 months later, and they're all going, I don't understand what happened to my great new computer. It was so fast, and now it's all slow and draggy, and I don't understand it. Well, they have become a victim of the spyware and the junk that is out there infecting the world. And they're also a victim of their own lack of common sense when it comes to the net. They're installing everything. Here's a classic thing. You buy some piece of software that you really want. Okay? You purposely decided, I need this piece of software. I'm going to go buy this piece of software. You get the CD. You put it in the machine, and it comes up with a menu that says, okay, we're going to install the software, and by the way, we're also going to install this and this and this, and oh yeah, here's a free sample of this, and don't you want this, and oh, by the way, here's a whole bunch of new fonts, and on and on and on. What do? You find, even if you have to go into the installation, the custom installation, and uncheck everything else but what you bought. Don't let them clutter up your system with a bunch of stuff you'll never use, but will drag your system down. You know, think about your system like it was a sleek, muscular runner who's fresh. He's, you know, he's had a good night's sleep. He's had a good meal. He's ready to run that race. And then you start loading his backpack with bricks. And you just load him down and load him down and load him down. And then you put him on the starting line and say, go! And he starts trying to run, but he's kind of just slogging along because he's got this load of bricks on his back. Well, man, all you got to do is take the backpack off. And all of a sudden he goes, phew, man, okay. And he takes off running, you know, so fast you just can't hardly believe it. Well, what's the deal here? The deal is all of that software is taking up disk space, of course. But a lot of software these days installs little little doohickeys in your system tray. You've noticed that. You go to install something, and then you look down in your system tray, down in the lower right-hand corner, and look at all the little bitty icons that are down there. You know, you've got all these little icons. And what are they good for? Absolutely nothing.